Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Now after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food, and of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
This is Game Time, episode 13, 14. I have no idea. We've lost count.
Has it been that long already?
Yeah, it's been that long, Richard. It's been that long. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and you just heard Richard Bradbury. And also, okay, before we start talking about some of the things that we've been doing over the past month, I just want to say that this month is going to be a very frustrating month for all gamers out there.
Yes, it is.
Especially if you're subscribed to a particular service provider.
Yes, indeed.
We've been suffering.
Terribly.
Terribly. Yeah, yeah. And it was so hard to pick out what are the things that we're going to talk about because we just haven't had... Not time.
It's not the time. You can't get any multiplayer game.
And a lot of games today are all based on multiplayer connection, right? You got to go online before you can even play a game.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, a lot of the games... So I have FIFA.
Yeah.
That requires internet connection before I play. Need for Speed, same thing. Mm-hmm. Battlefront, of course.
You see, you could always go back to Fallout 4, Jeff, or maybe The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
You know, some of those bigger games that you could expand for the next month.
Yeah.
Until they actually start repairing this cable.
Which is a good point, you know, because there aren't that many single-player games out there. Right. Fallout 4 is probably the best of them all.
Yeah.
Witcher 3, close second.
I'd agree.
I bought Fallout 4. I've not played it
yet.
No, because the thing is, like, you know, remember we spoke about this. Fallout 4 is a game where you will dive into it.
Correct.
And you won't get out.
Correct.
Right? It's like Hotel California. Once you get in, you can't get
out. That's
why
I've had to abandon it for now, you know, because I know if I start getting really into it, I won't be able to do anything else.
Yeah. And another new game, well, this game that is just out like 2 days ago, is a game that is the whole reason why I bought a PS4.
I remember.
And it's called The Division by Ubisoft. It's under Tom Clancy's brand as well.
Right.
Silent night, holy night, all is cold.
It's hard to watch something you love destroy itself. See it fall apart. Disaster always feels so distant, detached. Someone else's struggle in some faraway place. It's not until it's in our city, at our doors, that we realize how fragile we are. All of us. All of this.
No, baby, dear. Mommy, I'm here. Mommy's right here. Angie, no. No.
Please.
I love you, Marcus.
Sarah.
And when it hit, when it came down, it came down hard.
Give me my family back.
And we fell. We buried ourselves in anger, fear, and the instinct to survive.
I'm sorry, Sarah. I'm just not strong enough.
Tragedy is invisible. People turn away from it and run from it if they can. And it's hard knowing that you belong here. That your purpose lies amongst all this pain. But someone's gotta be there. To pick it up. To push back. Put the first piece back together. Put us all back together.
So it came out, and it is almost 40 gigs of download. And I first told myself, you know what, I will invest in this, but not the full gold pack with the whole season pass.
Which is around 380 something ringgit.
So 350 or more or less around that, right? So I decided to get the normal standard version. I think it was 220, but you get a discount for your PlayStation Plus. 10% discount, so $200.
Right.
Now, 40 over gigs download. I thought, you know, if I downloaded it and I, you know, get a good night's sleep, next morning I woke up, I'll be able to play it, and then we can do a show.
Right.
It's still going on as we speak. and the funny thing is, it's like, you know how PlayStation downloads in sort of like blocks, right?
Right, so in chunks,
In chunks, right? So the first chunk is 15 gigs,
right.
And then you can start playing the game, and then you'll start downloading the other stuff later on, right?
Yeah.
It hasn't even finished the first chunk, Rich.
What the heck?
It has been at least a good 12 hours now.
You see, yeah, because this is the whole point. I was expecting coming in to do this show today and to say to you, Jeff, how is The Division?
Yeah.
That was what I was expecting today. And we're not going to do that.
No, we can't do it. Although I did hear some news that apparently those who were managed to download it, probably they were using other service providers besides Unify.
Right.
They said that's actually server connections.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah. So the server, Ubisoft server itself, went down and they had some issues, and Ubisoft had to come out and, you know, sort of like give a few suggestions on what you can do in order to connect to the server.
Open your ports.
You need to, open your ports. You need to maybe, you know, refresh your DNS and, you know, restart your browser, your router and all those stuff. So, yeah, there were a bit of issues. There were a bit of hiccups. Also, interesting, you can't really find a proper review of The Division online at the moment.
Yeah.
I think they held back a lot of the people.
They did. They have like what they're calling the ongoing reviews, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Right? Because the publishers actually said, we're not going to release any game early for you to review. It is vetoed. You can't do it until the game is actually reviewed. So what I've been managing to catch is quite a few online streams. I've been watching a little bit of that. It looks interesting.
It is.
I can't say it would have been the one game that would have pushed me to buy a PS4, though. But, I mean, you know... different folks, different strokes.
Yeah, exactly. The game looks great. Graphics looks amazing.
Yeah.
But I, like yourself, I've been watching a lot of live streams, and there are a lot of people who are doing this 24-hour live stream of The Division, which I think is insane. You know, I think they maybe have more than one player playing this game and just switching it around. But anyways, I've been watching it, and I realized that it is, again, one of the games that requires only online. It's a whole multiplayer game. You can't play it by yourself. You need a whole team. So you need your buddy or some stranger that you become friends with to play with. Because if you're alone, you'll die.
Right.
You always need to hide in the cover. And whenever you scan the map, you always have to look for where can you find cover. It's a lot of thinking. And I think it sticks to that Tom Clancy's brand itself. Like, I played Rainbow Six Siege. And that's a good game. But, oh my God, like, there's just so much of thinking going on into it. I just don't play it when I get back from work because, you know, I don't want to think anymore.
Right.
I want to play Battlefront because I can just go around and kill everybody.
Exactly. You just log on, that's it, and within an hour, you've got what you need.
Yeah.
But this whole idea, I mean, we've always loved the idea of a massively multiplayer online games. Everybody loves the idea of it.
Yeah.
But if you don't have friends to play along with and you're on with some random people, it's very difficult to communicate.
It is.
You know, and to get your job done.
It is. Everyone's going to do their own thing. Right. And, you know, yeah, it's not going to be fun. Anyways, we will probably do the Division next time round. Hopefully by then we would have better internet connection. Uh-huh. Work on it, telecoms.
Fingers crossed.
Work on it. Anyways, Uncharted 4. This is a game, Richard, I think you missed out.
Yes.
Completely.
I didn't even realize there was some kind of stress test going on.
Yes.
Until our mutual friend messaged me and said, oh, I've been playing it all weekend. And I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, so over the weekend, Uncharted 4, they did a stress test. This is sort of like a beta. It's first time I'm hearing someone calling a beta a stress test.
Right.
And I think it's great that you're calling this a stress test instead of a beta. Because you're calling it a beta, it's just, I think, it is more of like you're testing to see what I think of the game.
Right.
But when you call it a stress test, it puts me go like, oh, I'm going to do all kinds of crazy things and try to break that server, right? Because it's a stress test.
Yeah,
so I thought that was good. There were a lot of issues trying to connect to the server. Naughty Dog were, I think they kept refreshing their servers all the time. There were some tweets that was going out about talking about how, you know, if you can't connect to Uncharted 4, try to do this as well. Same thing with The Division, but I think, you know, it's just a whole bunch of people. It's a big game. Uncharted 4 is a huge game. So they did the stress test. I managed to download it. Managed to play it for about 6 hours. And it's apparently only 20% of the whole online multiplayer experience that you'll get.
Oh.
And that 20% that I've managed to experience in that 6 hours was great. Uncharted 4 multiplayer feels like it is somewhat of a mix of Call of Duty with a bit of like maybe Battlefield 4 and you know, maybe a bit of Battlefront as well. How it works, so it's like a lot of shooter games all going into one, right? But okay, so what I mean is that like it feels a lot like a really strategic shooter game, but you can actually just go on Rambo if you want to do it Rambo.
So, right.
Right? You can do the whole, you know, ducking and you can cover, you can try to, you know, be smart about killing someone. You can sling from one side of the map to the other side of the map. There are a lot of buyouts that you can buy, side loads that you can buy. You can, you know, buy like a personal machine gunner and he will follow around you and he carries this huge machine gun and he has his own life that can regenerate if you, you know, stay in a quiet place, if you hide out. Or you can have this a spiritual tomb that if you plant it and, you know, shadows will come out from it and will capture, will start killing your enemies when it walks around you. So there's a very cool way of doing it. So you can play it as a normal AK-47 rifle kind of dude. You can play it as a sniper kind of person. You can do it as a shotgun. You can play as different characters as well, not just Nathan Drake.
Right.
And the maps are not so big. They're decent enough for like a 10-on-10 kind of player. And online was, for me, was a mixed experience because connection was bad. Internet connection was really bad. So I was lagging really badly. I saw people, you know, skipping frames. And, you know, 1 minute he's in front of me and I'm
so
taking
annoying.
My shot. And
so
next minute he's, you know, behind me. I'm going like, where did he go, right?
Yeah.
So that's got to do with the internet connection, I think, not so much of the game. But overall, the experience of playing Uncharted 4 and the amount of years that people have been waiting for this to happen, I got pretty excited. And I think this stress test is a good lead for perhaps they should do another one more just to include more stuff, just to see what can you do, because they said it's 20%.
Right. What about graphics though, Jeff? I mean, graphically, what did it look like?
It's not groundbreaking. but it's decent enough. It's beautiful. It's nice. The guns, they feel different.
Right.
Not just graphic-wise, but the feel of it. Well, so if I'm using a sniper and I'm zooming in, you can see a bit of a pixels, a bit of a, you know, not so clear and not so sharp kind of graphics feel. But if you're using like an AK and you can see the smoke coming off from the gun itself when you shoot, so that's nice. But when you zoom into the details, it loses its balance. The graphics is not the best looking game. I think The Division might take that as the best looking game. But in terms of experience, we have this problem where the problem with Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront, which we will talk about because there's a new update coming up. Star Wars Battlefront, a lot of the guns sort of feel almost the same.
You know,
if it's a blaster, heavy blaster, or rifle, it's just like how many shots can you take, and you know how the refresh rate or the cooling rate is, right? But for Uncharted 4, it felt very different. Like if I was using an AK-47 and a shotgun, it has a completely different feel. Even the way my character moves has a different feel as well.
Oh, so it affects movement because of the weight of the
feels,
gun? Or,
yeah, it feels right. like that. I'm not sure if it's that, but it feels like my character moves slightly different. I feel like, you know, the shotgun is a bit more heavier and he sort of runs a bit more awkwardly, but, you know, AK-47, he can just go all Rambo kind of stuff. It's very nice. I really like the game. I'm really looking forward to this whole single-player experience because the story is not finished yet. There's a lot of things to go on.
Right, I mean, and not only that, but it's been pushed back again.
Oh, God.
Release date has been pushed back again to what I believe is the 10th of May. And this is a quote from Naughty Dog and Sony, and they've said, in an effort to meet the considerable worldwide demand and to ensure that all gamers worldwide have the opportunity to play the game on day one, we've chosen to postpone the launch of the game by 2 weeks to allow for extra manufacturing time.
Mm, I think also they're probably collecting back all the feedback from you know, the stress test, right? So as long as you stick to your promise that day one, everything will be fine. No multiplayer issues, no single player issues.
It's never going to happen.
They always underestimate the amount of people that will download a game.
I cannot think off the top of my head any recent game launch that has been flawless on day one. I can't think of one.
A big game that everyone's been hyping up and day one it was successful and everyone
cannot
went,
think of
wow.
One. Maybe Fallout 4, but that's not multiplayer.
Fallout 4 would be a lot of... It's a bit too easy on the server.
Right.
But if Fallout 4 had a multiplayer, it would have a lot of issues because the amount of people...
The maps are huge.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Massive. Anyways, we'll come back with a lot of Star Wars news and, sort of a review of a new map that me and Richard have been playing. And we've got opposites view...
Indeed.
...about this new map. We will argue about that in just a moment. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
You're still here. Good. Now, if you're listening to this podcast while on the treadmill, you're already off to a good start. If you're not, don't forget to join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on the 2nd of April. Find out how you can live a better, healthier life. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
And you're back with me. I was about to say Richard Bradbury, but anyway.
Hey, if you want to be me, that's fine. That's fine.
And that was Jeff Sandu. Anyways, this is game time. And early on, we were talking about how frustrating our experiences have been because we are gamers and we are both using Telekom Malaysia's Unify connection.
Indeed.
And they are having a bit of an issue with some cables.
Correct.
And so it's affecting users who are trying to connect to servers that are in North Asia and the US.
Right.
And a lot of these games are based from there.
They are. I mean, we either have servers based in Singapore or Hong Kong or in North America. And, of course, the ping times is awful. Latency is awful right now.
So if you're wondering why is it when you tend to do an online search and, you know, if you do an online search on Google, it's very quick. But when you load a website, it's very slow. It's because Google has servers around here and you don't have to, you know, ping. So that's the reason. And a lot of games have servers outside of Malaysia and they don't have it here. We've been struggling to find stories that we can talk about. So I found an interesting video about Star Wars. And remember Darth Maul?
I do.
In Episode 1.
Right.
And he was a fan favorite.
He was a great character.
Great character, but killed off really quickly.
Right.
You go like, is that it? Like,
right. All the promotional material that you saw for it, you think this is a great new enemy.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be the next Darth Vader. And
really
cool
lightsaber.
Gone.
Gone. he's a bit like Captain Phasma.
Ah, right.
You know,
yeah.
Hyped it all up.
Yeah.
And you go like, what did the character do again right. in the yeah, whole movie?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had that awesome lightsaber and he had face paint and horns.
Yeah. And we were not the only ones who thought that, you know, Darth Maul should have a longer screen time.
Right.
So there were a group of people decided to, you know, let's do an independent fan film, around Darth Maul himself.
Oh.
Our enemies will pay for what they have done to us. The annihilation of our people will not be left unpunished. For 1,000 years we have been waiting, hiding, observing. But our time to strike is finally at hand. My apprentice. Now the Jedi are weak. Blinded by arrogance and limited by compassion, they choose to deny the true nature of the Force. That hate makes us powerful. Very soon you will be strong enough and vengeance will be ours. But until then, our presence must be kept hidden. We cannot let them know what we are planning. You must protect our secrets at all costs. Any intruder must be destroyed immediately.
This is nothing to do with Disney. They just, you know, decided, like, let's do this on our own. Let's do it a fan film. And it's with a tie-up with a company, a production company called T7 Productions.
Okay.
And it's about 18 minutes long. You can go onto YouTube.
The fan film is?
Yeah, 18 wow. minutes long. And you would think that a fan film would be, you know, not really good lighting, not very good, you know, special effects or... But my God, this thing is good. Like just Darth Maul's face itself. The, you know, he's full in makeup with, you know, the red and black, and there's like a devil horns
right.
sticking out of his head, and his whole costume, his suit, and even his lightsaber. You mentioned about it.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole special effects and the makeup on it is amazing. Like, I would never for once thought like this is a fan film movie. Like, this is a.
It looks as good as like.
It looks as good as, you know. You know what? Because episode 1 was really bad, this is probably better
wow.
than episode 1. Just because of the way that, you know, these fans were so passionate about it. I'm not going to tell you the story. I'm just going to give you a bit, like, a background of what is it about, but not so much into the details. It's actually, it tells an original story. It's got nothing to do with the books, with the comics, or with any sort of other media that the Star Wars have related with. So
right.
it follows Darth Maul. And it's sort of takes on to it. He's the main character, and he's the bad guy, but everyone likes him.
Right. So he's one of those.
Yeah, he's one of those. So you can see how he became sort of Darth Maul. So he will battle through a few Jedis that we've never seen before. So this is all made up characters, you know, and come on and they battle in this jungle. And that whole scenery, the view itself is just amazing. Like, you think that they just shot everything in green screen and do everything. But no, they did live footages in the forest somewhere in, you know, in the UK or some in Europe or somewhere. And, you know, it was very well done. The lightsaber, the way the sound effects was, the visual of the, you know, of just Darth Maul's. Initially, he was fighting with the first Jedi. He was fighting with just one side lightsaber. And then when, you know, there's a Jedi backup comes in, he puts up the other lightsaber. And then you go like, oh, right, my God, right. This is so cool, right?
That's
so
smart.
It cannot be.
Must have formed the council.
There is no time
We have to deal with it ourselves.
Everyone focus. Don't let him get away.
Stay close to me.
It's really good. So the way they played around it, really smart. 18 minutes long. Go and check it out. And interestingly, I found out that apparently in 2014, there was a Darth Maul game in development.
I remember that, yeah.
And they just scratched that.
Yeah, it was going to be developed for Xbox 360, PlayStation 3,
Wii U.
Yeah. I remember reading somewhere about this. It got quite far through development at some point.
And then
they just scrapped it, yeah. In fact, I think there's footage somewhere of some kind of early beta gameplay.
Mm.
And it looks like your typical kind of... what's it called? Left to right scrolling kind of fighting game.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that Star Wars Battlefront will have this as a hero character.
Darth Maul. I don't see that happening
as well. But, you know, it would be nice. It would be nice. Because Darth Vader in Battlefront is so slow.
He's a tank. He's supposed to be slow.
I know, but, like, you know, it's supposed to be the evil, the most, you know, the empire, the ruler of the empire, the galaxy.
Right.
And, yeah, anyways, speaking about Star Wars, so there is an update, the March update. I had no idea that this update even happened. I thought it was just a DLC.
No. DLC, entirely different thing.
Right.
So there was an update in February.
Okay.
Which dealt with balancing of weapons and a few other bits and pieces.
Okay.
There was a lot of problems with one of the weapons called the Bowcaster, for example.
Oh,
the Wookiee Bowcaster.
Mm-hmm.
So you could essentially arm this weapon, charge it up, fire it at the floor, and you would kill a whole bunch of people. And of course, if you've got a jetpack and you're using that and you're flying all around.
Boom.
That's it. You know. and so it caused a lot of people a lot of grief, so they balanced that out. This update that's just come out recently, in fact yesterday it rolled out, rolled out on Tuesday, there would have been a new mission. So it's a Rebel Depot on Tatooine, and it's a new survival mission.
Mm-hmm.
They added a new map called Survivors of Endor, which was added to Walker Assault, Supremacy, and Turning Point.
All right.
So this is all dropped before the DLC is expected to drop sometime towards the end of the month.
This new map though, Richard?
Yes.
What's it about?
Okay, so it's set on the forest moon of Endor, of course, the home of the Ewoks, and it's called Survivors of Endor because it happens after there's been the invasion of Endor by the Imperials, and so most of the map is on fire. And so instead of it being just like your normal forest map, which if you've played Battlefront, you'll know how difficult it is to play on. You know, you can't see people on there.
Crazy.
This is kind of a little bit more opened up. But there is new elements to the map. There's a cave segment in there. There's a large Ewok village. Yeah. There's a fallen AT-AT.
So it looks like you sounds like you love this map.
I wouldn't say I love it yet. I haven't had enough time to love it. But I think it looks very nice. But there are, in my opinion, balancing issues with it, depending on which side you play on.
Okay.
Because if you are playing, for example, as the Rebels, and when you spawn in, there's places for the Imperials to spawn above you, and you can be very easily spawn trapped. And anybody who's played any kind of FPS will know there's nothing more irritating than being spawn trapped.
Mm.
You're stuck there.
I'm going to come out and say I hate this new map.
You've only played it for one day.
Few hours as well, not even a day. I've played it for Walker Assault and Supremacy.
Right.
I haven't tried it on Turning Point, couldn't get a game.
Ah.
So I've tried it in these two game modes. And I just find it so similar to Jakku.
Right.
Where, you know, you have a map, and imagine this, you have a map, it's, you know, shaped like maybe like a donut, and in the center of the donut, that empty gap, you have, you know, massive things going on there, right? It's either maybe like a crash that star, or, you know, a crashed spaceship and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of things going on in the center, but completely empty in the sides.
Right.
So Jakku had that feel. So you could go in with the tactics of, you know, let's flank from the sides, and then you go in. And and we've played games before, and we were ruling Jakku like mad on the scoreboards, right?
Yep.
Because we were doing this, we had a tactic to go on. You could use this same tactic for this new map. So it's not something new that it's adding to it.
Mm.
And the reason why I find this frustration has come up to me now is because I'm finding Battlefront sort of an excitement level to go down now.
Right.
I'm not getting excited as I used to be.
Right, right, right. Understandable.
So I was really hoping for something big. It might come with the DLC, the Outer Rim, because that's gonna, apparently now there's four maps.
Yeah.
Because it's
so it's
two new places, but
correct.
Each place has two maps.
Correct.
So
that
might be good. And there's new heroes as well, if I'm not mistaken.
That's an also debatable topic. You know?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk very quickly about your opinion of the map.
And I
think you make a good point. You know, it's not giving you the excitement that you want yet. But as you say, I think with the release, and this is smart on EA's part, or irritating if it's on your part as a gamer, you know, because they know exactly what they're doing. You know, they're drip feeding us. And what we needed really, I think, when Battlefront first launched is a whole bunch of maps. We needed a lot. We needed a big rotation because this was a game that everybody expected amazing things from. And visually, it is. Audio-wise,
amazing,
it is.
Crazy.
But it was limited in terms of maps. But with the Outer Rim, it seems as though we're getting a whole bunch of new characters, two new characters, a whole bunch of new maps, some new weapons. But like you say, the heroes that they've introduced are heroes that, you know, you would expect something like Chewbacca or Lando Calrissian. No. But we are given Greedo and Nien Nun. Right, Greedo is the character that Han Solo shoots in the cantina, you know, hand shot first and all that. And the end nub is he only appears for like I think maybe 6 minutes throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, and now he's a hero.
Yeah, he's a Celestian hero. You know, he's one of those characters. He looks a weird alien character, you know. But they have their own play styles. Apparently, one is a kind of sniper character, and one is a kind of a bodyguard with a very large pistol or something. Mm. But I don't know. I mean, the feedback that I've been seeing on Reddit and some of the other gaming websites have been quite negative against the heroes.
Yeah, well, especially because the way EA has been toying, like you said, with us, right? And you know, it's just not cool, EA. Like,
it's not
cool, man.
No.
You know, get things done.
Right.
Or just roll it out. Like,
right. But, I mean, the feedback for the February update, which did give us the Twilight on Hoth map as well, the balancing issues that were dealt with in that update, great feedback. You know, it's balanced the game very, very well. But for previously, it was very difficult to play. It was really annoying. There was a whole bunch of spam from like the homing shot and one thing or another. You don't see that anymore.
Yeah. You know? What about the season pass? So, because the reason why we talk about season pass is because the DLC will be the first of four season pass that will be out. So this will be the paid content.
Yeah.
Jakku was a free downloadable DLC, right?
Yeah.
So this will be the first of four. Outer Rim. And then
Beast Spin will be out in summer 2016, Death Star fall of 2016, and so far there's an untitled fourth one coming out early 2017.
Exactly, yeah. So would you now buy the season pass, or would you wait till the Outer Rim comes out, buy the individual Outer Rim, and then later on, you know, buy it as individual packages?
I mean, I am tempted to buy the DLC now, the Outer Rim package. I am. But as you say, we're in a limbo right now in terms of internet. And I am seeing the player base reduce over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
It's been difficult to get a game.
It is.
And I don't know whether or not that's because of the internet problems that we have. But even when the internet was good and there was me, you, and our friend playing, we were having difficulties getting into a game.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. And I suspect with stuff like The Division that has been released and Uncharted 4 coming out later on, people are going to be playing those games.
You know, just before we leave, there is, I really hope there is a next game that will come out and it's just focused solely on single player.
Right.
There's something like The Last of Us, which I haven't finished yet, but I will.
Still?
I will.
What show are we on? 14. How long have we been talking about this?
I will finish it because the internet connection is so bad.
Right.
I will finish The Last of Us before the next episode.
Folks, you heard that here first. Remember that.
And I will give you a review of a very overdue review.
You're already 2 years too late.
No, but the thing is that I was just thinking about what has been a single-player game with a really good single-player story.
Oh, story.
Yeah.
Okay.
With a story as well. Not just a game, like, you know, you can play single-player, but a story as well over the past, 6 months?
The Witcher 3.
The Witcher 3, Fallout 4.
Yeah.
That's it, you know?
put your hand in your pocket, get your wallet out, and go and buy The Witcher 3. I'm telling you.
I've bought Fallout 4. I haven't even played it. What makes you think I'm going to play Witcher 3 even if I bought it, right? All right. Anyways, that's all the time we have for Game Time this week, for this month, actually. We will be back next month, and hopefully we will be able to do the review of The Division.
Yay!
All right. This has been Game Time. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Richard Bradbury, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.